Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Martha has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, that was a very short story. When Martha welcomed Jesus into her home along with her sister Mary, Martha's first impulse was to get busy in the kitchen. In doing this, she was being faithful to a tradition of hospitality, which we heard about in today's Old Testament reading. When Father Abraham welcomed three guests into his tent, he turned to his wife, Sarah, and asked her to prepare a meal. And so also, when Martha welcomed Jesus into her home, she immediately began to prepare some food. Her sister Mary, however, had a different idea about hospitality. While Martha was flipping through the cookbooks and boiling the water and chopping the vegetables and setting the table, Mary was sitting down at the feet of Jesus, attentive to what he was saying to her. Now, one can imagine that Martha was getting increasingly perturbed as she was left to do all the work. Who could blame Martha for banging a few pots and pans and routing the plates and utensils as she sat at the table? Mary settled down at the feet of Jesus, attentive to what he had to say. Now, perhaps Jesus heard the rattling of the pots and pans and even perhaps the muttering that Martha was saying under her breath. Finally, Martha's frustration exploded into words that she said to Jesus. "Lord," she said, "don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." Now, we might wonder why Martha just doesn't go to her sister Mary and ask her help. Why does Jesus have to get mixed up with this spat between the two sisters? And what comes next in the story, I think, presents an even bigger problem for us. Why did Jesus seem to side with Mary, just sitting and listening, and be so critical of Martha's hospitality? All through the Gospel of Luke, serving others was always a priority in Jesus' ministry and teaching. Here, Jesus deserved a meal. Why in this text does sitting and listening become more important? Earlier in chapter 10, Jesus gives advice to the 72 mission workers that he sends out. When they were welcomed into someone's house, he said they were to eat whatever was set before them. And yet here, Martha's effort to set a meal before Jesus seems unappreciated. And also in this 10th chapter, Jesus has just told the story of the Good Samaritan, which we studied last week. What could be more service-oriented than that? And so how do we explain this turnaround from doing the word to hearing the word. And to complicate matters, I think that most women would identify with Martha. Is that true, ladies? Does it happen that sometimes you get stuck in the kitchen to do most of the work? So, what was Martha doing wrong? Now, all kinds of reasons have been given to explain why Mary's more quiet and passive behavior was complimented and Mary and Martha's busyness criticized. Some believe that Martha's attitude was the problem. Her whining. Not approaching directly her sister. It was not her work, but her attitude that was the problem. Jesus didn't like to see Martha getting all worked up and upset. Probably even spoiled the meal. Now, others think that Jesus disapproved of Martha's hospitality because she planned too fancy a meal, too many dishes, took too much time. Jesus would have been just as happy with a one-dish meal that could be served quickly, and they would have more time to sit down together and have some quality time together. Talking about theological matters was more important than enjoying a gourmet meal. And then another fascinating explanation has to do with this controversy that was probably going on in the early church when Luke's gospel was written. It was over the role of women in the church. Does that sound familiar? It's still going on. Jesus chose 12 male disciples. And so many of the early Christians expected men to be the primary leaders in the church. It was a patriarchal society. But it was also clear that Jesus had many women followers during his ministry. Even in the very early history of the church, women were performing a wide variety of ministries that included preaching and teaching and leading. And if you read, for example, the ending to Paul's letter to the Romans, you will find a whole list of women's names who were church leaders. But the church was not of one mind about this, even as it is today, to accept women alongside of men in church leadership. Now, occasionally you will find isolated texts in the epistles where women were admonished to be silent in the churches and to be subordinate to men. A woman was not to teach or to have authority over a man, as one text says in 1 Timothy. Now, some scholars attribute these anti-feminine texts to later scribes who copied the scriptures and would occasionally insert their own points of view. I'll leave that up to you to decide. But when Luke tells us in this account that Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying, was it his way of telling his readers that Mary was in a position to be a disciple along with men? The word disciple means to be a learner. Was this Luke's way of telling the church that it was time for women to get out of the kitchen and take on the roles of service and leadership in the church along with men? Was Mary sitting at the Lord's feet part of her theological training? Jesus said, Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her. It's hard for us to know exactly what Jesus meant. Listening to the word and doing the word seem equally important. Is this text telling us that women are just as fit as men to be disciples? Jesus seemed to give his 100% approval. but I'll leave that for you to decide. Now, during certain periods in the history of the church, this story was interpreted to show how the contemplative life was better than the more active life, more honorable to be a monk or a nun than to participate in common life. The life of prayer and meditation, the quiet life seemed more spiritual or more perfect than the active life. Now, some also believe that this story was told as a part of an effort to remove people from more active service in the church. Now, this is just the opposite of what I said earlier about getting women into the ministry of the church as spiritual leaders. This interpretation suggested that women should be more passive, to sit and listen, to be quiet in the church. It was an attempt to remove women from that more active service and leadership. So you see, this story can be read in different ways. Now, I like to think that Jesus was smiling when he said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by so many things. Mary has chosen the better part." I don't think that he was saying that the quieter, more passive life is better than service. I don't think he's criticizing Martha's hard work, but rather her state of mind. She was distracted. She had lost sight of why she was doing what she was doing. It was all about her. Martha focused on herself and on the food that she was preparing rather than on her need to fellowship with her guest and with her sister Mary. And maybe there's a lesson here for all of us. When our busyness causes us to be distracted and anxious, when we worry too much about ourselves, when things we do become more of a burden than a joy, when we no longer interact with those around us, when we don't pay attention or listen to those around us, when we lose our focus, then maybe it's time to become more like Mary and step out of our busyness. I know some of us are really cut out to be more busy and active, and others are cut out to be a bit more quiet and contemplative. But paying attention is important, keeping our focus. One time, Tom Friedman had a column on the op-ed page of the New York Times called "The Taxi Driver." He was in France, and he told about being driven by cab from the Charles de Gaulle Airport to Paris, to the city. During the one-hour trip, he said that the driver and he had done six things. The driver had driven the cab, talked on his cell phone, and watched a video, which was a little bit unnerving to him. While he was riding, he was working on a column on his laptop, and he was listening to his iPad. There was one thing that we never did, he said. We never talked to each other. Friedman went on to observe how our technology and how our internet age tempts us to be inattentive to one another. We don't listen to each other. We're busy doing our own things. Now, it's possible that this story of the two sisters is a reminder to us from the Lord to focus on Him, to give Him prime time, to focus our full attention on Him when we come for worship, but also when we get busy with the everyday tasks of life. It's not an either-or kind of thing to be busy or to be quiet. We don't have to choose between being active and being more reflective. We all have different roles and gifts to play in life and in the church. We attend meetings. Sometimes it seems we have too many meetings. We write reports. We show up on Sundays. We plan programs. We serve our neighbors in need. We conduct stewardship campaigns. We plan events. We make decisions. It seems that we're busy all the time, but how often do we ask why are we doing all these things? We need to focus our attention on the one we are serving and listen to him. Notice how Martha seems to be centered so much on herself rather than to serving her guests. Though she refers to Jesus as Lord, she wants Jesus to help her carry out her plan in the kitchen rather than to learn from Jesus what is the better part. So we ought to be doing some listening and learning from Jesus before we settle on our plans and try to carry them out. On the other hand, when a congregation positions itself at Christ's feet, reading the scriptures together and asking its meeting and praying together, the activity will become more purposeful and joyful. It's not a mindless activity and busyness. There's a reason for what we do. And that we need to keep in focus. The preacher Tom Long tells a story about a wonderful disciple of Jesus by the name of Grace Thomas. She was born in the South about a century ago as the second of five children. Grace's father was a streetcar conductor in Birmingham, Alabama, and so she grew up in this large family with very modest means. Later in life, after getting married and moving to Georgia, Grace took a job as a clerk in the state capitol in Atlanta, where she developed a fondness for politics and the law. So although already a full-time mother and full-time clerk, Grace enrolled in night school to study law. In 1954, Grace surprised her family by announcing that she wanted to run for a public office. And what was more shocking, she didn't just want to run for a seat on the city council, she wanted to run for governor in the state of Georgia. Now, there were a total of 9 candidates that year, 9 candidates, but there was only one issue that was on the voters' minds, and that was the 1954 decision, Brown versus Board of Education, to integrate the public schools. Grace was the only candidate among the 9 running to support that decision. Her campaign slogan was, "Say Grace at the polls." Hardly any did. I'm sure she lost miserably. She came in dead last in the election. Well, her family was glad that she got it out of her system, except that she didn't. She decided to run again for governor in 1962. By then, racial tensions were even worse. There was more divisiveness than they had been 8 years earlier. And Grace's progressive platform on race issues earned her a number of death threats. One day she held a rally in a small Georgia town and chose as her venue the town square where there was once a slave market. As she stood there, Grace pointed to the platform where once human beings were bought and sold and said, "The old has passed away, the new has come. A new day has come when all Georgians, white and black, can join hands and work together." At that point in her speech, a disagreeable man in the crowd yelled out, "Are you a communist?" Well, Grace kept her composure and replied, "Why, no." "Well, then, where'd you get all that gall darn ideas about working together?" And Grace pointed to a steeple on the church across the street, and she said, "I learned them over there in Sunday school." Grace Thomas never became the governor, but she had spent time at the feet of Jesus listening to what he was saying. What she heard even at a very early age in Sunday school changed her life and kept her life focused on a very specific mission that God had chosen for her. It's a good thing to take time to sit at the feet of Jesus, to listen to the word of the Lord, and it will almost always lead to action. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we could ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen.